This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, a little bit of Drake for you this morning. How's that, huh? Feeling good? Are you ready for the holidays? They're coming at you fast. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. Hotline bling. I wonder how many people are either getting into or getting out of relationships at this time of year. You know what happens.
Save on Christmas presents. And if you're, if you've got enough willpower, save on Valentine's too.
Yeah, because then you can stay single until then. This is the right time to save. Save,
holiday
save,
romances. Just for the holidays.
All right. Well, we've got lots to talk about this morning. There's plenty going on. I see they found a new Miss Universe over the weekend.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
Tell me about that.
I only saw the headline.
Oh, okay.
That's as much as I know.
Oh.
Well, Miss Universe,
this
is...
Did you watch it, Sia?
No, it was like a 3 a.m. our time.
But yeah. Also, who watches beauty pageants anymore? I mean, clearly there are people who do, but I'm not one of them.
I check in every now and then just to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Well, for the likes of Steve Harvey's blunder. And by the way...
So did he screw up again?
No, but I actually love one of the contestants made fun of him in that way. You know, in the whole question and answer session?
Yeah.
She jokingly made a nod to that. I actually sent you that clip. But it was, yeah, Miss Universe 2018. And you know, like last year... If for any
reason the winner this is Steve making me. Duties,
the first runner up will take her place. Good luck to you both.
Okay, so who was in the final here? There was Miss Philippines and looks Miss, like Ariana Grande.
Miss South Africa?
Oh.
Miss South Africa.
Oh. Oh really? So we made the finals.
Yes.
Huh. Okay, here it is. Oh right, I recognize her now.
Tamarind Green.
New Miss Universe is Philippines.
Oh my God.
But that does mean if something terrible happens to Miss Philippines,
well,
we come in and we take over.
We don't want to see Miss Philippines trip and fall. But...
I'm not saying I want something horrible to happen to her, but I always find that kind of funny.
If she gets bunions, she can't wear high heels.
Bunions.
No.
Bunions would be a good thing.
Just for some context, though, this is the major pageant that Miss South Africa won last year.
Right.
So we had Demi Lee Nell Peters and
so
she
won that. We're up there. We've taken Venezuela's place.
And we almost got it this year. Yeah.
And there was, Miss Universe had its first trans contestant.
Oh, Jesus. Yes?
She's Miss Spain.
Yeah? Mm. Hot?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
She's first transgender contest to compete for Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Miss USA was stirring up a bit of controversy.
Oh.
I'll have to look into that.
Are you surprised that the USA would stir up some controversy? All right, here's the moment where Steve Harvey is ripped into by one of the contestants, doesn't it?
Listen, you host a TV show in your country. Now, from one host to another, do you have any tips for me?
Well, I think you're doing good. The outfit is fine. The smile is always great. But I have to give you one advice, just for the future, just in case. Come closer, because I don't want everyone to hear.
Yeah.
If they ever give you like a really, really, really important envelope, try to read carefully, okay?
Steve Harvey just like looks.
So y'all thought that was that damn funny? You thought that was funny? Y'all just won't let it go, huh?
I love you, Steve. I love you.
I love you too. I love everybody. When you make a mistake, get up and keep going. I'm still here, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, I love you.
All right. Well, there we go. He turned it into a me thing. That's nice.
No one's going to let him forget that.
No, sure. But it is funny. I mean, good for her that she gave him the only important bit of advice he really needed.
So Miss USA Sarah Rose Summers was criticized for remarks about two of her fellow contestants that struck some as condescending and xenophobic.
What did she say?
She posted an online video with her co-contestants, Miss Colombia and and Australia, and they were talking about Miss Vietnam, saying she's so cute, she pretends to know so much English, and then you ask her a question after having a whole conversation with her, and she just smiles blankly and nods. She's adorable. She doesn't, Miss Cambodia doesn't speak any English, and not a single other person speaks her language. Can you imagine? It would be so isolating and just so confusing all the time. Poor Cambodia, she says.
So what's wrong with those things?
I don't know. Some people were not happy about this.
And those are exactly the things I say about girls that I meet who can't speak English.
The same things.
Yeah. In fact, I think she even stole those lines from me. Well, here's Miss South Africa answering her questions. We always like to, you know, we want to come across as being a smart place.
Do you think countries should limit the number of refugees allowed across their borders?
Oh, my God.
I think that every country should have their own rules and regulations. But for a thriving society and for all of us to stand together, we have to understand that we are all human. And we all are more alike than we are not. So we should be open to loving each other, accepting each other. Doesn't matter where we come from.
Didn't really answer the question, but okay. I mean, they shouldn't ask these girls these questions. I don't want to know what her feelings on refugees are. I'd like her to say, these are the very best panties of all the panties.
I want to know what you would have said to this question, and said, you've got 30 seconds.
I would have said, I like the panties.
No. That's what another I would refugees.
Oh, what would I have said?
In 30 seconds.
Okay, well, first of all, I wouldn't be in a beauty contest because look at
me. No, you're playing for time. Your time's already started.
Oh, no, come on. All right, do you really want me to answer this seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. I think refugees are a reality of the modern world. I think that people cross borders and that they should be allowed where it's possible and when they fulfill the legal requirements of each of the countries they wish to go into, that they should be allowed to move and migrate as per their heart's desire to chase better opportunities for them and their families.
Nice panties.
Wow. But I'd say, if I were a beauty, okay, here's how I'd answer it if I'm a beauty queen. Steve, you're so cute.
Oh, it's so
and
adorable.
And then Steve goes, and you're like, but to be serious for a minute, say, people must just do what they want.
Oh,
that's what I'd say as a beauty queen.
Okay. But you always have to thank them for the question. I don't know why that's a thing.
To buy time, that's what they do.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you for the question. It's like when people get onto a radio show and they go, I just want to say good morning to you and to your audience. Like we're all sitting there going, oh, shit, they didn't say good morning to us. Now I feel slighted.
Good morning, guest.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like, good morning, teacher. You remember how you used to have to say that at school?
Yes, in that sing-song way.
Yeah, exactly. All right, other things that we need to talk about this morning. First of all, a study's revealed that James Bond has a chronic alcohol problem.
Oh, no!
Yeah, but this is,
James Bond.
First of all, I want to know who finances these studies.
This was a study published in the Medical Journal of Australia.
Okay.
So it's like, they've got a serious...
So they've got money to burn. They've actually decided they're going to survey a fictional character.
So the result,
he has a problem.
They put all the information into the computer and the results said he should consider seeking professional help and find other strategies for managing on the job stress. So the study's authors watched 24 James Bond movies released between 1962 and 2015. And found that the world's most famous spy drank 109 times, or an average of 4.5 times per movie. One of his biggest binges was in Quantum of Solace, where he consumed at least 6 Vespers in quick succession.
Good for him.
He's believed to have drunk in that session 24 units of alcohol, well into the range that can be fatal. He also frequently engaged, research highlights, in a wide range of potentially high-risk activities, such as car chases, fights, sex, and operating heavy, including nuclear machinery.
I don't have a problem with James Bond drinking. First of all, as I said, he's a fictional character, so stop your crap. Second of all, Winston Churchill got us through World War II, right? And by us, I mean the Allies, the people who beat the Nazis.
Yeah.
How did he do that? Ooh, he drank at 9 in the morning and didn't stop until he passed out late at night. If that's what people need, let them have it. There are a lot of worse things in the world than alcohol.
Yes.
Jesus.
And in essence, James Bond has a license to swill, does he not?
He has a license to do whatever he wants. Did you see how much womanizing he did? They also have a problem with that. He was a creature of his time. James Bond came about in Ian Fleming's imagination in the 1950s.
Yeah, wouldn't anyone want to drink that much in their wildest dreams?
In the 1950s, yeah. I mean, first of all, liquor wasn't as easy to come by. It was much more expensive by comparison with today. And someone like James Bond, it was almost a status symbol to be able to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you were in a job where you were that stressed, what else were you going to do to cope? It's not like they had antidepressants running around.
Yeah.
There were none of that there. Maybe James Bond was dealing with more shit than you and your Australian medical research survey team.
People didn't know that much about PTSD in those days. I mean, you just look at what he had to do.
Right. I mean, he saved the world. How many times? Do we ever thank him?
Yeah, there isn't a study on that.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid Australian studies.
No, these are people with a lot of time and money on their hands.
But they reckon he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. At least he was a functioning alcoholic. It's fine.
All right.
Still saved us.
The good he did outweighed the bad, I think.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Sorry, James Bond. You're also being relegated to the rubbish bin now. Apparently, now this is a story I thought Sia might be able to help us out on.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a lot of tension, first of all, between Kate and Meghan in the royal family. Sia knows something about this. And then Camilla has climbed in. Now, you never know whether these stories are true or not, but let's go with it. Let your imagination run wild a little bit here. Let's imagine there's a huge feud in the royal house because they're all about to spend Christmas together at Sandringham.
Yeah, so Camilla was watching Meghan at the Fashion Awards show, the British Fashion Awards.
Yes, because she went to hand over an award to her dress designer, right?
And she was clutching onto that belly. She
did a lot of belly clutching. But the things that really pissed off Camilla were the basic rules, which she disregarded. The first thing is she wore black nail polish or dark nail polish. Oh. You're supposed to only have nude nails. She was wearing an off-the-shoulder dress. Camilla labeled it awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She also went and hung out with the stars afterwards and had selfies. Now, you remember right from the beginning, we knew that she wasn't allowed to have selfies. Apparently, Camilla has sat back and watched Meghan's recent behavior in astonishment for a long time. She chose to stay silent until now, but the sight of her hamming it up at the Fashion Awards was the final straw.
Hmm. So Camilla doesn't like her now.
Yeah.
Unhappy with her. Thinks she's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
What's going on with her and Kate, though?
See, I'm an equal lover and an equal hater at the same time. And to think about what Meghan has lived through, you know, she's 37 years old. She's had two marriages. Well, one marriage, one almost marriage, a very long-term engagement. Lest we forget, she was dating someone when she met Harry. And it was going on for a long time. And
dropped him like a sack of potatoes.
In 2.3 seconds, dropped this guy by handwriting a letter and taking off the ring that the guy had given her and mailed it. So not even a courtesy face-to-face, let's talk it through. Nope, it was just like, met someone, Harry, he's royal, bye. You know, so she's
She did a trade in and she got a great price.
No, she's lived a life. So now it's all of these whispers of what's going on. It's her and Harry moving out of the palace that the rest of the family shares. It's now all of the staff that keeps on quitting.
Oh, is that happening?
Yes.
Because she's difficult to work with.
They're calling her bossy.
They call her
controlling.
The new nickname is Duchess Difficult.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And Hurricane Meghan.
Yeah. And really, we might not know
Duchess
facts.
Duchess Difficult.
If we don't know the facts, but we know the fact that staff and aides who've been with the family for 17 years, for 20 years, now all of a sudden quitting, that's something's definitely going on. And I think now Meghan, in my mind, this is how it's working. Meghan has made it into the palace and the kingdom. She's now certain to have a place in history now that she's pregnant. And now she's going, oh yeah, cool. So this is what I want. And this is how it's going to happen.
She's getting kind of demanding as well.
Yeah, you know, think about it if you were in her shoes. But let's see how slimy it gets.
Mm. Love a bit of gossip from the royal family. That's always fun.
Her latest aide has announced that her name is, what's her name? I know her surname is Cohen.
Okay.
Samantha Cohen has announced that she will now leave working for the royal family as soon as Meghan gives birth. And this is someone who's been with the royal family for 17 years. And just hasn't really spoken about why she's leaving, but just said as soon as the new baby is born, she'll be leaving her role with the royal family.
It's all going to come out in interviews and documentaries and books and online stories. And
you know, yeah, I've just been thinking quite a lot about weddings and things because I've been to so many of them, and I'm going to one more at the end of this week. But this weekend that I just spent now was with a really good friend of mine and his wife, who I love to pieces as well. And it was just such a happy occasion. There were all kinds of people there that I've known for long and that I know well, that are real friends. And it was a special kind of occasion for everyone to get together. And I've always enjoyed weddings, but it's especially nice when everybody knows each other. And there were, of course, people there that I didn't know very well that I met for the first time at the wedding. But it was just a really good vibe. It was a nice feel. So we started on the Thursday. There was a bride at someone's house, and everybody was there for that, which was spectacular. Turned into a huge party. People left at, like, I don't know, 1, 2 in the morning. Next day, there was a breakfast. Then there was a...
There was a day when everyone was supposed to take a run.
Oh, they did. They did a bike race. They did a run. Who the hell knows?
You didn't do those.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh, okay.
Would I have done a run? Nah. Look, you don't have to participate in everything to be there.
But you got to sleep in. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, the funniest thing about this is I've got a friend called Rob who's an advocate. And he's not by any means a priest or qualified to be a priest, but... He was asked by this friend of mine who got married to please do the ceremony.
Mm. The officiating.
Yeah. So uh-huh. He was the guy. He was what the priest or the rabbi or the whatever would normally be. And he made the most brilliant little sermon up. I mean, he spoke about love. It was quite highbrow. It was intellectual. It was smart. It was well thought through. He'd done a lot of research. And then he told this hilarious made-up parable about how, you know, you get to a point in your life where you know that there's one person that you really need, as opposed to all the many that you've had before who were fun. And you kind of grow up. And it was just brilliant. It was so funny. It was so clever. It was so heartfelt because there were two people missing. The mother of the bride she had died a few years ago, so she wasn't there. And they left a chair for her with a little, like a sign on it saying this is Jen's chair. And then the groom's best friend died 2 years ago.
Mm.
And so there's a chair for him right up front as well. So the two of them kind of were there in presence as well. But everybody just had the most fun time. They built a tequila bar for me.
Oh.
Like it was called the Cliff Agave Pharmacy. and there people were actually drinking tequila at my tequila bar. And then there was a patisserie for like the one girl who's just the most incredible chef. There was a cognac place. It was done so well.
I like how weddings are becoming less and less religious.
And less and less formal. I mean, I don't mind a bit of religion as long as it's not hours and hours of it.
It doesn't have to always be a Bible reading. It can be a really nice poem, readings from friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think funerals at the same token should be the same as well. They don't have to always be in a church, and it's not always what everyone wanted.
Well, people can design their own stuff now, right?
Yeah.
You can have your own wedding, you can have your own funeral, you can do things the way that you want to. I think that's quite clever. I think it's pretty, it's interesting, it's individual, it's different. So I think a lot of people like that. But sure, eventually when I got home on Sunday, I was just exhausted.
I'm sure. It's going to take a week to get over that. Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as you get over it, you have another wedding.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
Anyway, all right, so there are a couple other things that we need to talk about this morning. Apparently, a candy floss that we all think was so much fun. You know that machine-spun candy floss that you put in a... They have those big things and you put a little sugar... I don't even know what it is, like icing sugar stuff in there?
Yeah.
And then they make candy floss out of it?
Oh, yum.
I haven't had that in years.
No, it's been years and years. And your mom would always say to you, don't eat too much of that. Your teeth are going to rot.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, ironically, it was a dentist who helped popularize cotton candy.
No way. A dentist?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of products that we know today have had surprising origins. For instance, the inventor of Play-Doh created the putty to be a wallpaper cleaner. And yeah. Now it's become it's a brand of its own. In the 20s and 1920s, Lysol, which is like a hectic cleaning product for the home, it was marketed to women as a vaginal douche.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And a contraceptive.
That's probably not a good idea.
No. And in an ironic twist, cotton candy machine was apparently invented by a dentist. So, I mean, sponge sugar obviously dates back 500 years, but the first time it was made in a machine and was brought to the masses in the US was through the work of a Tennessee dentist, William J. Morrison. He had graduated already from University of Tennessee Dental College in 1890, and then he started exploring this incompatible interest in tooth health and candy. He became president of the Tennessee State Dental Association and then teamed up with Nashville confectioner John C. Wharton to create this machine that would
That's incredible.
Cut down the manual labor required to make cotton candy.
But his machine must have caused more trouble for teeth than it did good.
Definitely.
Or than he did good as a dentist in his practice.
So the name cotton candy entered the scene in the 1920s. Australians still call it fairy floss. Which is cute.
Fairy floss.
Candy floss is the preferred term in the UK, New Zealand, and other country. In France, it's la barbe à papa, which means papa's beard. In Italy, it's zucchero filata, or sugar thread. There's spork awesome.
Yes.
Which is the Afrikaans.
What do we call it here? Candy
ghost,
floss.
Ghost breath.
Yes. Candy floss.
Candy yes. floss and no. spork floss. Awesome.
Okay, got you.
And in other languages like Hindi and Greek, the term for cotton candy more or less translates to old woman's hair.
When last did you have some?
Jeez, no.
Old woman's hair.
We
played the most hilarious game on the Friday night before the wedding because it was really just the groomsmen and, you know, like their partners. So we all got together and we played Would You Rather.
Oh yes,
and I came up with some really good ones. Do you want to do one?
Yes. Oh gosh, these are so hard.
Oh,
would you rather eat a handful of pubic hair from a whole lot of different people, but you have to eat all of it, like just a handful of various people's pubic hair clippings?
Have you ever gotten your own strand of hair stuck in your mouth and you're trying to find it? Now imagine a whole
horrible,
bunch.
Horrible. No. Or for the rest of your life, before every meal, you have to have a handful of soil. You have to choose.
Okay.
Once off with the pubic hair, or every time you have any meal, you have to have a handful of soil with it.
I've made my choice.
Okay, have you made your choice, Sia?
Okay.
You see, Sia's got a lot of life left. So this is quite, you know, difficult for him.
What's it going to be?
Fuck, it has to be that once off.
Okay, so you're going to go with the pubic hair, Leah? Yeah.
No, the soil for me.
Really? You don't mind?
Firstly, the pubic hair, you'd have to shove it down with like a poker or something. It wouldn't go down my throat. And then secondly, the soil. There's actually a restaurant where you can go and eat soil now.
And is it good for you?
Yeah, it's good for you.
Oh, rubbish.
No, I promise.
Mm-mm. Soil.
It makes my teeth actually curl.
Yeah, of course, because
you know
get
when you get
bits
beach
of
sand stuck in your burger?
bits of grit.
Gives me goosebumps, but no, the pubes wouldn't go down.
All right, would you rather...
Oh, no.
Would you rather have each of your toes broken with a hammer?
Oh, jeez.
Why
it's not
going to
be nice ones.
Things?
I mean, these are not nice things, right? They're going to be horrible. Or have one of your fingernails pulled out with a pair of pliers. Which one's it going to be? Sibs, you want to join in? Come on. Spongile, you want to join in?
Nothing sounds good there.
Yeah, but you've got to choose one. It's would you rather?
Maybe the pulling of one.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd have all 10 toes broken with a hammer.
Yeah. I've had a broken toe, and I've had a nail being pulled back on a cupboard door.
The nail's so sore, right?
It's so sore. Oh, but
you've got so many nerves at the end of your fingers. It would really hurt when you pulled that out of the pair of pliers.
Because and be it's got to be, it's got to be less pain.
And there'd be meat attached and a bit of bone.
It's a new end.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be the nail though. 10 broken toes is agony.
Because this just happened to me a couple of days ago. I was on my way to the loo in the middle of the night and I hit my toe against the door. And so my big toe has cracked a bit right down the middle. And even though I've cut the nail off a bit, there's now still this tiny little part that gets hooked onto any type of material. So my sock, my sheets, it is... I feel like crying right now speaking about it.
So when you play these games, the point is that I suppose you just get to figure out what people really, really are more scared of. So like the one guy at this at the wedding was he was just terrified. The thing that he would he'd choose anything rather than have his eye poked out. That was the thing that freaked him out. So anything you said to him, you could basically make him eat like the contents of a full toilet and he'd be happier than losing his eye.
Oh, I dated a guy like that once who he couldn't look at anything sharp, even on TV.
Because he would be worried it would go into his eye?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, a couple of messages are coming in. Venetia says, morning, everybody. I just want to pop in and wish everyone joy, love, happiness, and all this fun in the festive season every single day as well. This week will fly by and I will surely miss the show. Being away from family will be a little tough for me and a little less Christmassy. Oh, where are you going, Venetia? Sounds exciting. So tell us what you're up to while you're away from your family. I love spending Christmas with the family. I don't like going away for Christmas, but I still have no New Year's plans. Nothing.
Sure. Something's going to pop up.
No, it'll probably be the best ever because you haven't planned it.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And I don't really have huge expectations for New Year.
Why?
Because it's just another day. It's not... People build it up in their heads that it's got to be the party of the year. Mm. And it never is. Like, you've probably had 10 parties this year that are better than what New Year would be.
Oh, no, I make a point to make it.
What are you doing for New Year?
Massive.
Have you thought about it?
My friends and I, one of my friends' parents are gone, so they've left him the house. And my friends and I are all gathering there, so it's a nice, safe, closed-off place. We'll just have a great, great party. We have a lot of games and activities planned, because we all are very similar in our thinking of being superstitious around the new year. Like Christmas for me, give or take, I know I can have a lunch and I can see some people, that's fine. But I'm very, very wary of how you begin the new year. And I only have like 2 years to count or vouch for why I believe this way, because there were 2 years where I wanted to go very small for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have the greatest of years. So I'm now like, don't want to go down that road again. Nope, not going to do it. So I always need to be doing something great and grand for New Year's Eve.
Something big. Okay.
Yeah, you need to.
I think last year or the year before, we did sort of prawns on the braai and jacuzzi and swimming pool time.
Nice.
Sparkling wine in the jacuzzi and, just playing around like kids with loud music and stuff like that.
I think it was 2 years ago that my friends and I timed Toto Africa, the song.
Yes.
So that perfectly, that when the clock struck 12 midnight, we were singing the chorus of Africa.
Oh my God.
Priorities. That's how we got into the new year.
Hey, it's important. What are you talking about? These things matter.
Next year should be a biggie.
Yeah.
With it being 2020.
Yeah. End of next year is a brand new decade. That's kind of scary to think about.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
Do you still remember what you did for the millennium?
I do.
What were you doing?
I had a massive party at some place. I don't remember where it was. It was out in the sticks and it was just a great time of my life and lots of friends and happy vibes, except I had to work a 13-hour shift the next day on 5FM.
Oh, Jesus. That's not nice. On the first?
Yes.
Oh, working on the first has got to be the most horrible thing.
So I finished up shortly after midnight. Went home, had an hour to sleep, got up at 5 in the morning, had a break in the middle of the day, so I thought, well, let me have a few Red Bulls,
yeah,
which I hadn't had before,
yeah,
because I didn't really drink back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of Red Bulls, and I had an allergic reaction. My whole body was covered in welts.
Oh, no.
And I had to go back to work like that, and I was wheezing and everything.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
What a way to start the new year.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I do remember it clearly. Do you remember?
18 years ago.
I have no idea what I was doing on the 1st of January 2000. All I know is that the 1st of Jan is usually the most unproductive day for everyone. I know that there are people, important people like, you know, the fire department and the police.
And presidents.
And yeah, and people who work in hospitals and things like that, that we absolutely need to be working on the 1st of January. But everybody else really takes it easy. And I think on the 1st of January, they're also, especially in hospitals, lots of people fixing people with broken heads and broken wrists and
fridges,
broken
that
legs
have fallen on their heads.
Especially if you walk around in like Hillbrow, where people throw stuff out of buildings.
TVs.
I don't know why they do that. Why do people throw TVs and fridges out of buildings in South Africa? Particularly in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And that I need to understand. Someone can explain that to me, I'll be so happy. I mean, like, what possesses you on New Year's Eve, especially, to go and grab your fridge that served you so well, that's been so good to you for so many years, to grab it, upend it, and push it out of a window?
Maybe when a big appliance breaks during the year, you just keep it aside for the special occasion.
Oh. So you stockpile old shit appliances that you could throw out of the window for New Year.
Yeah.
No.
It's bizarre.
You cannot be living like that. That is so odd. I, of course, don't remember a lot from that time because I was 4 going on to 5 years old. But one of my earliest memories is the whole Y2K buzz. And I remember our helper at the time was...
Everybody thought their machines were going to...
That's it. Yeah. And like
turn
the world was ending. Yeah. All I remember was because I was spending a lot of time with her, our helper would... I would go to the shops with her and she was buying the likes of couscous and she was stockpiling. That's one of my vivid earliest memories because she was convinced the world was ending, Y2K, we don't know what the millennium holds.
And it all had to do with the fact that all of our digits electronically had started with a 1, like 19,
yeah.
19 something.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it was going to change to a 2 and
it was
the world
up.
Was going to explode.
Everything was going to go
what
wrong.
What that was about.
There were some glitches, but...
But nothing terrible.
No, nothing.
Yeah, just buying couscous. That's all I remember.
Stupid thing to stockpile.
Right.
All right, I got an email here from Nikki. She says, hey guys, this is a slightly long overdue email. I've been meaning to send it for a while, but you know life happens. Gareth, I know you don't like long emails, but I've tried to summarize everything I wanted to say. Thanks, Nikki. We always appreciate that. I am a long-standing fan of the show since day one, but only 18 months ago did I start actively downloading the podcasts and catching up. I now never listen to radio, and on the odd occasion I do, it's terrible, and I'm so thankful to you and the team. I was devastated when Mabali left this year. I'm hoping that she will come for a visit soon. I still miss her infectious laugh. My most memorable was when she had a swearing rant because of an HR department's comments around employees turning up late, even though they had to use taxis, while saying, I miss Mubs terribly. Leanne is amazing. She's brilliantly funny. I look forward to hearing her on the show. I still laugh when I think of her messing makeup on her ex's car. Her dating stories on Tuesday's show had me in stitches. She is the best thing on your show. And to be honest, you always seem less grumpy when she's around. Oh, thanks. Okay, Sia's song. This is important feedback for you, Sia.
Oh.
Yes.
While it is never going to win a Grammy, I was having a particularly shit week at work, and when I heard it for the first time on your Friday show, it was the only thing that could make me smile. Continues to make me smile. So thank you for that, Sia. I'm looking
Look
forward
at that.
To a remix.
Huh.
Oh, a remix.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some food. There's some fodder here for Ben as well. Ben's love for his cats, other animals, practical thinking, and his dry sense of humor gives me hope for the human race. I still get tears in my eyes when he tells us that he buried a dead cat he found. I think that's an amazing thing to do. Did he really?
I didn't know that. I'm learning something new. But he is, wow, he's obsessed with these cats.
I remember something like that.
And then she said, I'm a great entertainment.
Was that all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you mentioned changes are coming in 2019. Every time you say that, I break into a sweat. because I can't bear the thought of any big changes on the show I love so much. I understand in order to evolve you need to change, but for the sake of my sanity and other loyal fans, please, nothing major.
Oh, that's really nice.
I hope you, thank you, and the team, including the fabulous Anthea and the rest of the team at Cliff Central, have a great break in December. Looking forward to another cracker in 2019 with all of you. Regards, Nikki. Isn't that nice?
Wow. Oh.
So there we go. Some very nice feedback from Nikki. Are you also getting all those Christmas emails?
No, I'm getting Christmas memes. There was one, did you send it yesterday? With the Father Christmases all fighting in the streets.
Yes.
To the background song of "It's the most wonderful time of the year."
And they're just
the Father Christmases are all smashing each other's heads in. Yeah, so great. All right, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm getting.
But what sort of emails do you mean? Like, thank you for your support over the last year.
Just like festive greetings and.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this whole mess with SemAir last week?
No.
So SemAir, which I've renamed CementAir. They're a local small airline. Like a budget airline. They're the kind of airline where they have a cooler box up at the front and people pass stuff down.
Take one pass on.
It's exactly like that. So two of my friends were coming down for the wedding, flew via SemAir, and then they were grounded. So they had to scramble to make a plan. And they managed to get two seats on the last two seats on a British Airways flight. They had to buy business class.
Oh, goodness.
To pee and then drive.
Jeez.
Hectic, because the SemAir has been grounded. And they say that they're probably unlikely to be back in the air anytime soon. But we'll keep you up to date.
CementAir.
CementAir, yeah.
Yeah, when your plane's made of cement.
Yeah, if you've booked on CementAir, you're in some trouble. Your holiday might not happen.
Might not even lift off.
And so you just have a cooler box at the front.
Yeah. This is what someone told me that had been on. I've never been on CementAir, but there we go. Apparently they've got a cooler box in the front and you just grab what you want and pass it back.
The worst for me was DEP Airlines in Portugal.
That's the Portuguese national airline. Yeah.
DEP.
How about them?
We were at Aeroporto do Faro and got onto the plane. I think we sat on the tarmac for about 2 hours and eventually the pilot came on. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the delay. And he then took off.
Yeah.
And tipped the wing that you heard the buzzer going. It was like dangerously close to the runway. Before he'd taken off, he tipped the wing already because he was late.
And yeah.
Then the air stewards threw us a frozen Magnum. But you know when they've been frozen for too long and they start going funny, yeah. And yeah, that was the flight. And then I have a friend who was actually an air steward on an African airline, but he traveled on TAP. And they had a plane crash. He was involved in a serious plane crash.
What?
Yeah. And he said the air stewards, he was trying to calm everyone down, knowing the situation and being trained. But the air stewards on TAP came in, and I've told you this before, where they walked in and they said, okay, everybody, don't panic. Don't panic. Run.
Oh, my God. Yes, I remember that.
And the plane actually crashed. My friend got out, and as he was walking away, it was still exploding. It was like a proper thing. People died.
Don't panic. Oh, sad man. Don't panic and run.
Yeah.
Oh,
run.
Hell.
Don't panic, but run.
Oh, no.
Okay, you want some more emails? Here's one from Henny. Henny says, Wednesday last week was the best of all shows. Funny as all hell. Your show makes me feel like the freedom of 1,000 doves.
Oh.
Yeah, we tore apart the lyrics to Michael Learns to Rock because we found out that none of them could actually speak any English. Anyway, the top five most streamed songs Sia mentioned are all hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Makes sense because that period produced the best music ever to be made.
Hmm.
And will always be timeless. I think Ben would agree with that statement. Peace out, Hendrik. Isn't that nice?
Oh.
And then Donald Trump's staff have been saying that he's really difficult.
Oh.
Because his ex-butler had a few words to say about how he's a picky eater and he hates sloppy dresses. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I see it all comes out.
Yeah, eventually. You think, you know what? This is why we used to have a show called, what was the show with the maids and the madams?
Desperate Housewives?
No, man. Here, our own show. Remember the you know what it was. Sibs.
Madam and Eve?
No, man. Jesus. How can we be Mbalinjomani and company?
The Maid Sessions.
The Maid Sessions, oh. Thank you.
Oh, I thought like here's it in South Africa.
To Lisa Cindy and Mbalinjomani. Anyway, so we had the Maid Sessions. If I tell you what, you gotta watch what you say. If your servant or if your person who works for you is unhappy with you at some point, they can share some pretty deep, dark secrets. And in Donald Trump's case, his ex-servant, his butler, has started to talk.
Ta-da-da. Thank you. Thank you.
What's it like serving at Donald Trump's beck and call?
Anthony, you were Donald Trump's butler for quite a long time. How many years did you work for him?
Almost 20, I guess.
Oh, the stories former butler Tony Senecal has to tell. Like when a young Mr. Trump and first wife Ivana had four butlers waiting on them hand and foot.
After Mr. Trump and Ivana got a divorce, we were going over to his room one night and he said, Tony, do I need four butlers? I said, as long as it's me, Mr. Trump, you only need one.
Wow.
He said, get rid of the other three.
Senecal says those reports that Trump gets by on very little sleep are all true.
Man sleeps maybe 3 or 4 hours the most a night.
That's it.
That's it.
Because he says that now, still
it's
today.
True.
And a lot of people don't believe him, but
it's true.
You would know.
Witness.
According to the butler, Trump is a man of many moods. There's the kind Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is one of the nicest, most generous men that I've ever known in my life.
And then there's another Donald Trump who could lose his cool at any moment.
He'll go off. He'll scream at you. You stand in the corner just seething. He's already forgotten it.
And what are the things that really get on his nerves?
People being late. He hates anyone to be late. He figures if he can get there on time, everybody can get there on time.
And when you do arrive, you better be dressed to the nines. Senecal says Trump doesn't tolerate sloppiness in others or himself.
His suit had to be pristine. And one time I took it down and they like wetted it. So that the lapels were all forward, and he flipped out. Flipped out.
When it comes to great steaks, I've just raised the stakes.
The butler says Trump is a picky eater. He likes his steaks and his burgers, and he likes them well done.
It was pretty much, Tony, bring me a cheeseburger. And it was, and don't forget the ketchup. If it's vegetables, he doesn't want to see them.
So he eats meat.
Oh.
Meat eater. Mm. If it isn't, he look, I find he's not a sloppy dresser, but those ties are just way too long.
He's not in style. He's not on Vogue.
No.
But he's just very classic.
And he likes it to be clean and not sloppy. That I get. But this butler's not dishing dirt. He's not saying bad things.
Yeah, this isn't as crazy
complimentary.
As thinking.
He gets by on 3-4 hours a night of sleep. I heard you guys talking about sleep earlier.
Mm.
I mean, that's not enough, surely. Mm-hmm. No wonder he gets a bit cranky.
But you must as well imagine, even before he was president, he was the head of multiple corporations mm-hmm. and tons of responsibility. You know, you just think about going through your day and sometimes you have to have a meeting and, you know, you have to make tough decisions. How much that weighs on your shoulders. Now imagine billions of dollars resting on you. I don't think you'd rest easy and you'd always have something to do and you'd always have to fix something. Yeah, I think that's it.
We don't have a Rich Mulholland today because it's the end of the year and he's on holiday already. Mm. But we do have Taraji P. Henson, the actress. That's coming up in a little while. We're going to talk to her at 8 o'clock this morning. It's a pre-recorded interview we did last week. But I think you'll like it. She was very open, very honest, very real.
Mm.
Spoke a little bit about Empire, spoke a bit about her other movies that she's done, her you know, her incredible life story, which is something I think a lot of people relate to. We got a nice, 15, 20 minutes with her?
Yeah.
No, it was good. So we'll play that for you in a couple of minutes from now.
Well,
that's That's about all I got. Anything else you want to throw in there?
Can I just quickly shake my head at the story? Because I'm sure now you've heard whispers of it. Did you hear about the two nuns who embezzled money? I laugh, but it's not funny. Two nuns who embezzled money from the Catholic school they've been working at for years.
Where was this?
In the United States. Oh, folks, they have stolen like $500,000
The nuns.
The nuns at a Catholic school. One is a teacher of the eighth graders. The other is the school principal. So they, I'm starting to doubt they're even real nuns. They have been hatching this plan out for years between, you know, donations or tuition fees at the school. Every now and then they just slide a little amount into another account. And every so often, until most recently, it amounts to almost $500,000 And they took the money, and this is how they were found out. Wind was kind of suspicious as to why nuns were going to Las Vegas. This is so bad. They went to Las Vegas to gamble. This is Sister Mary Margaret Krupa and Sister Lana Chang, who went to Las Vegas. They were gambling with $500,000 from the school. And this is when auditors as well have picked up that, you know, there have been odd amounts of money that have just gone out missing.
Shame. They don't look like bad people.
No.
Oh, it's always the innocent looking ones who are up to something.
Like grands.
They've got big poofy hair.
Yeah.
They're stuck in the 80s with their fashion sense. But this is why.
And no one knew because it was always under a duck thing.
Yeah.
So they've been embezzling
for years.
To gamble.
And this is why I bring it up though, because this story first came to light a few days ago. But now, bless their hearts, but I think this is stupid. The school itself is saying, oh no, well, maybe they made a mistake and no, we won't be pressing charges. What?
Oh no. How stupid are they? They made a mistake?
No, what sort of mistake are you making for $500,000 US dollars that you've been stealing for years? Supposedly the parents of the school are absolutely furious, saying absolutely not. These people have to see the light of day in court or something, get authorities involved, while the rest of the people who are running the school saying, no, we'll call them in, they've already apologized and we'll deal with it internally.
Mm-mm.
Ha! 2018 can now
rules, just because they're nuns.
Exactly, but 2018 can now end embezzling.
I love that word too, embezzlement.
For $500,000 and they went out to Las Vegas to gamble.
All very risky behavior. I mean, the last thing you do with that money is gamble. Steal it, yes, but don't gamble it away.
But kudos to them. They've been very disciplined for years on end, trying to put this money aside.
And all because they had a gambling problem.
You know what? Just can't judge anyone these days.
All right.
Anyway, that's it from me.
All right. That's it from all of us this morning. We will catch you on tomorrow's show, bright and early at 6 o'clock. And then we're here for tomorrow. We're here for Thursday and Friday. And then we're off. We're gone. Gone for the holidays.
Edile.
And this show will return on the 7th of January. So make sure that you're ready for that. there will be one or two Christmassy things on Wednesday's show. That's tomorrow's show. So stick around for those as well. But coming up, Taraji P. Henson, the Academy Award nominated actress. That and a whole lot more. So I'm going to quickly go to one or two of these messages. Jared says, speaking of New Year's, my friend has moved into an apartment overlooking London's Parliament building. So this year I'm watching the New Year's fireworks from a balcony with a glass of brandy in hand. That sounds pretty awesome. Michelle says, my absolute worst is feet. I will never walk in bare feet. If there are any options, I will take them if they save me from taking my shoes off in public. And walking on manky, dirty ground. So what do you do on the beach, Michelle?
Well, some people have got serious phobias of their own feet.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for all the messages. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.